Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Welcome to the Metron Live podcast. Metron people, please welcome the podcast people. Let them know we're glad that they're streaming, listening. I went to sleep last night listening to podcasts and with my earbuds, is that what you call them? And when one gets through, I'd already dozed off, and it'll start playing other ones that are kind of in the queue. It's so weird when you wake up, like, what the heck am I listening to? This is like, I'm not interested in this, but I don't know. I guess the way they tag them, it'll bring up the next one. I didn't sleep all that well last night, so I would doze off, and I'd wake up. I'm like, who are these people, and what are they talking about? I tell you what, to set you free is falling asleep with AirPods and being like really, really in a deep sleep. And they're not making any noise, but they're still in your ear. And they do one of those alerts. And it's like really loud in your ear. Sweet Jesus in the morning. That'll stand you right up out of that bed. Like, oh my God. There is a trumpet that's going to play. Thank God I heard it. But anyway, we speak in this atmosphere. We say, let there be light. All right. I'm in a series last week. And thank you for I know where I took you last week was very different, especially showing you a clip from a horror movie. One thing I want to say, I actually had sort of thought it, but Fred articulated something to me about that clip that I thought is definitely worth mentioning. You know, at the end, when if you didn't see last week, you'll have to go back and watch it. It's too much to explain. But you know, when the mom goes down into the cellar and the monster's still alive and she feeds it, when she comes back up, the little boy is doing a magic trick. And he pulls a coin out. And she says, oh, that's really good. He said, no, I'm not finished. And he turns the coin into it. It looked like a dove. And Freddie said, that's very symbolic of a horrible situation that you turn into a blessing. I said, man, heck yeah. I said, I kind of thought there was something interesting about it, but I hadn't really thought that through. And that was a very astute observation about how not only do you survive the horror, but there's a blessing in it. You know what I mean? It's like the fact that he turned it into a dove. And it's like I don't know, was that, did I put words in your mouth? Is that what you said? Or was yeah. Yeah. It wasn't just, we got through it. It's like, I'm through it with peace. And I'm like, you better go, Frederick. So, that was really good. And I know that's kind of a different approach, but I appreciate you getting it. You're a very evolved congregation to be able to show you stuff like that and you understand it. But my title this month is Meditation and Manifestation, and I wanted to do it this month. The culmination will be next week when we're in St. Simon's, opening the hidden rooms of the heart to create a better reality. So I want to make sure I stay true to this thesis, because this is what I want to get across to you. I'm going to show you this verse again, as I've shown you the last 2 weeks. But I need to, this is our establishing truth. Let me show you again. This is Proverbs 20:27 in the New King James Version. Now, in the original 1611 King James, it says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the innermost parts of the belly. In the New King James, it says, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. And literally, the Hebrew says, the rooms of the belly. So what we've been talking about is your inner man, your spirit, your subconscious is compartmentalized. That's why you can have memories of a relationship that didn't end well, but you have good memories of it. You think, how is it possible that I can remember this thing and I'm laughing about something that happened or missing them, but I could continue this thought and think, thank God I was delivered. It's because you can have both. You can have wonderful childhood memories and memories of trauma. And both are real. You're not exaggerating either of them. So that's why I've been making the connection between rooms, plural, and keys of the kingdom, plural. And the whole point of last week's teaching was that some things, if you're going to deal with them at all, timing is everything. Just the idea that you're supposed to forgive everything that ever happened to you and get in the now, that sounds good in theory, but it's not realistic. People are still dealing with the past. The past isn't even the past. Past, present, and future is with us all the time. And you know I'm all about the now. But you can't deny that the past exists and still affects you. So the main thing I want to get across in this series is about meditation. And I read some stuff about meditation this week. I'm not comfortable enough talking about brain function to be able to repeat it to you. It's just not my wheelhouse. But it was very interesting about what happens in meditation when you quiet the mind and some of the studies they've done and how so many things get resolved when you just learn how to breathe through a situation. And one reason I'm using this verse in different translations is, again, breath and spirit. Spirit and breath are used interchangeably. And that's why I think meditation is such a spiritual practice. That's why I feel what we call the Holy Spirit when we meditate. In fact, this morning, it's interesting how neuropaths in your brain work. Because I have not thought of this song in, I can't think of how many decades this song has not even come to me. But this morning, I was getting ready, and suddenly, I've found myself singing this chorus. We used to sing it all the time. My dad used to lead it all the time in church, and it was, let it breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let the breath of the Lord now breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let the breath of the Lord now breathe on me. We used to sing it over and over and over again. And I remember the concept of God breathing on you, it would really bring in what we would call the anointing. And it always brings me back to Genesis, God breathes into Adam, or one of the most amazing things I've ever read in the scriptures is John chapter 20, where it says, after the resurrection, Jesus breathed on the disciples and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he says, whoever sins you forgive are forgiven, whoever sins you remit are remitted. I mean, that's very powerful. He basically gave them divine right, but he did it through breath. And so when we, if I have time today, we'll do a little meditation. We'll definitely have more time for it next weekend. But I want you to always keep this in mind, spirit and breath, breath and spirit. Spirit and breath, breath and spirit. Then let me show it to you in the Young's literal translation. It says, Seal's got butterflies flying around it. That's cute. Trying to make up for rushing this through the Lord's Prayer, aren't you? It says, instead of spirit, it says breath. The breath of man is a lamp of Jehovah. In other words, God's will comes to us not always through the mind, it comes through the breath. Searching all the inner parts of the heart. He's not talking about the muscle of the heart, you know, the difference. He's talking about the inner man, the inner spirit. It's not just one big room, it's lots of rooms, okay? And then the third thing is this is the concordant literal version. Proverbs 20:27, it says, a lamp of Yahweh is the life breath of mankind, searching all the chambers of the inner being. I don't want to go into a lot of detail about this, but getting my mom into assisted living has been a challenge, a bigger challenge than I realized. It was kind of naive of me to think it wasn't going to be, but it's been a lot. And I'm totally believing we're through the worst of it, but one day this week, trying to be serious here. You get one of those, BJ. There's one day this week, it was bad enough that I thought, you know what? I'm just going to tell her this is a bad idea. I'm just going to take you back home and we'll figure it out. You know, like this, you know, when you've worked so hard and she says, I feel like I'm in a prison camp. You're like, wow, it's not what I needed to hear. And, you know, at a certain point, I was telling Ernie and Avery last Sunday, I said, putting an elderly parent in, and I love the place. It's no, the issue's not with them at all. I love them so much, I'd move in there myself. I'm telling you, with all the services they provide, I'm like, you mean if you don't want to go eat, they just bring your meal to the room? When do I move in? This would be great. But anyway, I was telling them last week, I said, it's like you're doing all the clerical work. It's like somebody's just died, except you're not planning a funeral, but you're doing everything else. You're, you know, trying to pay all of her bills now when everything was set up in my dad's name. That it's like every little one, like, oh my God, it's like Herculean. And I said, but the only thing is they're still alive and calling you every 5 minutes complaining about something that sounds accusatory. You know, I said, I wasn't going to talk about it here. I'm talking about it. But last Saturday, it's 20 minutes from my house, and the 20 minutes from where she is to my house, she had called 10 times with complaint after another. And then she said, well, you're not going to do this. The power just went out. And I'm like, I don't work for Georgia Power, but I'll see if I can climb up. I mean, I'm not throwing her under the bus. I understand it's difficult for her, but it's been a lot. Between, you know, for 10 years, it's been my dad and her. I was in my memories today. I didn't repost it, but it was like we were in a bad place 4 years ago with him. And, I think you'll understand what I mean by this, but when I got up, whatever day it was this week, I couldn't even pray. I just had to breathe. And when I finally articulated something, and I'm being kind of funny, but I'm not when I say this, it was sort of like, I'm like, God, Spirit, universe, higher power, angels, ancestors, somebody, there's anybody out there, throw me a bone. If this is what's going to be for the next several years, because I'm thinking, you know, her sisters lived into their 90s, and I'm like, this could be, which, by the way, you know what I said something about Howie being on a cruise? He called me this week because his mother has fallen again and broken her hip again. And he has a sister, all these people with sisters. And so his sister is not so excited about the fact that he's on a cruise. He said, I've been there for 4 months, totally waiting on them hand and foot. And I walk out the door and it's like she was going, wait for it. And I broke my hip again. And I'm in the middle of the Atlantic. I said, I'm the wrong one to ask. Because I haven't been too thrilled about you, you know. And he said, I get it. I totally get it. I would be mad at me too. I said, well, good, because I am. I don't want to see your big happy pictures. Here I am in Spain. You don't even want to know what I actually said about him. You'd be like, we need to pray for Bishop. Anyway, we had a very good conversation. Actually ended up, good things came out of it. What I told him, I said, you're already on. I mean, there's nothing you can do. Finish your trip, write your sister, and take the high road and say, I'm so sorry I'm not there to take care of this. I'll be home as soon as I can. You know, so, I mean, because in fairness to her, she is the principal caretaker, and, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot. And his dad is also blind, so it's like, it's just a lot. And so anyway, I just breathed this prayer. And something happened that day that was, there's no way it couldn't have been a God thing. And I'm saying that to say that, why was I saying that? Where did that start with? I opened so many windows on that story. I think my point was, what? Yeah, I think that's what I was saying, is that sometimes a breath is a prayer. It's like I couldn't even be articulate. So I'm like, you know, I'm working harder than ever, and I'm paying for assisted living. I'm not getting the assistance yet. It's like I'm working harder now than I ever have. And again, adjustment, fair enough. I'm not mad at her. It's just been a lot. And it was just interesting to me how a breath can be a prayer. It was just like, I feel like I'm smothering. Help me breathe. Because, you know, I'm not trying to be overly dramatic about this, but this is just too hard. And it's, there's no break in it at all. It's relentless. And, so when it says a lamp of Yahweh is the breath of mankind searching all the inner chambers of the being, of the inner being, you can feel a lot of things. I mean, you were the caretaker of your mom who passed away very recently. She lived into her 90s. And I don't put words in your mouth, but I'm sure you probably felt ambivalent feelings. It was a blessing and a privilege. It was also a nightmare. Right? And both things can be true at the same time. Of course you're going to do your duty. Of course you're going to take care of business. That doesn't mean it's not just, well, even, you know, Ken, who's like Mr. Sunshine, he took care of his mother for 6 years. And he said he was the caretaker and working full time. And he said, you know, about midway through, he said, it really hit me, you know, I'm depressed, you know, like, God, you got to help me. And again, of course you're going to do it. But when you're in the middle of it, you know, you have to, it's interesting. I wasn't planning on saying this, but you know, when I look at have any of you ever taken CPR? The whole thing about mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, that's amazing to me. Because what it is, it's physically a way when someone they cannot breathe on their own, another person actually breathes for them. I mean, isn't that miraculous? You could save a life with your breath. I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, if someone cut themselves, put a tourniquet on that, you know, that, but to think you could actually, it's your breath in somebody else's lungs that brings them back to life. And to me, it's a physical outworking. When somebody comes along at the right time and saves your life, because, and that's kind of the thing that happened. Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what happened. Mom wanted to go to her house. I said, fine, I'll take you there. Sticks had fallen in the yards. I was walking around. I said, it's the first time she'd been back. I said, stay as long as you want. In fact, I said, if you want to stay the afternoon, I'll go run some errands. I'll come back and pick you up. Interestingly, she didn't even want to stay that long. She's, you know, she didn't feel as connected with the house as she could have. But anyway, it was a bad day. And when I was driving her back to the place, you know, she has no concept. She kept saying, "Why? What's wrong with you? Why are you so quiet?" You honestly don't know. I mean, I thought you honestly don't know. I mean, you are. I mean, I'd say that, but but anyway, I'm just driving along in the silence and just leaning against the window. I think there's so many things I wish I could say to you, but I don't want to get into a thing with you. It's like it's too stressful. And, you know, you with parents, especially elderly parents, you get to a place where there's no point in getting to an argument with you because it's not good. It's like it's going to be like arguing with a toddler. It's like there's no, I'm not going to be able to reason with you, and it's just going to stress us both out. And so I'm just going to, you know, whatever you need, I'll do it. And my uncle's ex-wife calls her on the phone. And she's the mother-in-law of a very famous minister that I'm related to. And they're, you know, they weren't even friends back in the day, but she lives close by and they've kind of connected all these years later. And if I had, there's no way I could have cued her the timing of this or to pay her, but mom just answers the phone. And she's got her own speaker and she says, "Hey, what are you doing?" And mom says, "Jamal took me to the house to get some things." Well, I'm not even listening. I'm in my own, you know, I'm just leaning against the window like a zombie. Like, this is my life for the next decade. You know, when Ken says, "I've got a couple of days, let's go to Panama City." I'm like, "No, I can't. Go with Howie somewhere." But she, it's nearly like she was prophesying. She said, "I hope you realize how blessed you are to have a son like you have." She said, "I can't drive anywhere and my kids are too busy to come even visit me or see me." And she said, I can't imagine what it would be like to have somebody that you could just call on to help you. And she says, "I'll tell you something else. He's a man of wisdom to put you where he did, because he, when you fell and hit your head last week and were bleeding, what would you have done?" I mean, it's everything I'm thinking I'm hearing come out of her mouth. It's like she's reading my mind, saying, and my mom's not going to argue with her. She said, "What would you have done if you had been by yourself?" She said, "He's not only a great son, he's a great man to be able to put," she didn't know I'm listening. And, she says, "As a matter of fact, that place is so awesome. I'm thinking about moving in there. I'm just moving next door to you." I'm like, oh my God. And finally I chimed in and said, "Thanks for saying all these things. I'm listening." And just a few hours ago, she said it was like a prison camp. She said, "You better not ever say that again. You have no idea how blessed you are." Have you ever just needed somebody else to say the stuff that you can't say? I'm like, thank you. Just thank you. And it was such a reality check for my mom. She didn't even say that much. I dropped her off. I get in the car and the place calls. They have to do like a follow up. They have to ask you from 1 to 5. And I'm like, look, I'm giving y'all rave reviews. I mean, yesterday she told me one of the dogs was choking on one of her chew toys, choke bones or something, and she called the maintenance man. It's, "Mom, you can't call him to help you with your dog." She got his number. She calls him a lot. But so when I get home, Howie called me. And so we were talking. So I was telling him about my situation. Yours is so much worse than mine. I said, "I've got to stop talking about it." I said, I need to start talking about what I want to happen instead of what is happening. So while I'm on the phone with him, my phone, I had my computer in my lap, and so my texts will also go to the computer. And I hear ding, and I see her name. I'm like, God, what now? Just let me get one conversation. And I'm surprised she could even text this much, because she shakes a lot. And she said, "This is just a reminder of my love and devotion to you. Remember, you are the most important one in the world. And as for my statement about being in prison, that was just an expression, and I'm sorry. But a good report today, when I actually feel at home here and am grateful you set it up. And Pat is actually interested, and as you heard her rave about you, you've made me happy for years, so that's my word for now." And but what's interesting about the timing of when Howie called is, like, when I was talking about when you keep talking about a situation, it's like you get it's like you get trapped in a, what do they call it when the weather won't break? But it's a cycle. But there's also something else. It's like no.
I said, sounds like
no, please.
Yeah.
It's like a weather front when it won't break. Like, they need the whatever it is. You keep saying it, and it keeps cycling it, and it's nearly impossible. Especially because when I said to Hallie, I said, I've already talked about this to you. I don't want to keep saying it to you. He said, "Listen, you can vent to me all you want to." He said, "In fact, there's so much life in your voice that even when you're venting, you're still teaching me stuff." He said, "You don't realize it, but even when you're complaining, you're telling me how to deal with my situation." He said, "You can't not be in teaching mode." And I said, "Okay, you're officially my best friend, because I'm sick of hearing it. I can't believe you're not." And but what was interesting is, it's like as soon as I said no, I've got to start talking about what I want to happen, not what is happening. So I started saying, she's going to get acclimated. She's going to meet people there. This is going to be a good thing. I'm going to have the money to pay for it. And as I'm saying it, that's when she texted. And I said, okay. So I broke something in that cycle, that weather pattern. You know, like when rain comes in for days and they just can't break it, because it's like it just keeps the moisture keeps feeding off itself I mean, it's probably all of those things. My point about that, God is my witness, I'm trying not to vent about it, but I want you to know I'm practicing what I preach. And to your question to me, which I've referred to 10,000 times, Danny said, "Do we still pray?" I said, "Yeah, meditation hasn't replaced prayer. It's just, I believe we're already divine. And if not, what Jesus did on the cross so empowered us that we don't have to keep making all these petitions all the time. Just get quiet and find out. Get inside yourself, you really will have the answers. That's not some cliche thing. It's like the answer really is inside you. The stillness is inside you. The peace is inside you. It doesn't come from the outside. And you can't find it if you don't breathe." We're all breathing. No, I'm talking about intentional breathing. I'm not talking about the breathing to keep you alive. I'm talking about when you feel overwhelmed and you think, whew, I just need a minute. Is that a prayer? Heck yeah, that's a prayer. Sometimes the most powerful prayer. Sometimes you need to shut up and be quiet and breathe. Sometimes you need to stop bossing around whoever you think God is and just let yourself be God. Let your higher power, your higher self breathe through you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't have to, like, even, I think you parents of adult children understand what I mean by that. You know what I love about, I'm proud of Jonah and Sophie for buying this house. You know what I love about it? They found it. They paid for it. I asked him Wednesday night, I said, do you have any big ticket thing that you need? Let me know and I'll get you a housewarming present. He said, I can't think of anything, but I'll let you know. But I, if I had to find a place for him to live, then I haven't really done my job as a parent. The fact that he individualized and found that, like, okay, good. Well, the Creator wants us to individualize. Do you know what I mean? There's a time you have to start breathing on your own. It doesn't mean you don't believe in God. It means that you believe in God so much that you really believe God believes in you. And that if you can just remove the clutter for a minute and just breathe, because I'm telling you, it may not sound that bad, but until I guess she's still my aunt, I don't know, but until she called, I can't tell you how hopeless I was feeling. It's like, not only is it not getting better, this is getting worse. Like, the more work I do, the worse this is. And it was just like, help me. And you know what? He did. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you've got situations in your life that are just as overwhelming. Let me ask you again, Heather. In taking care of your mom, was there ever a time you just had to walk out of the room and just breathe? Do you understand what I'm saying? And there's nothing to... You can't call somebody and say, help me, because it's your, for lack of a better term, cross to bear. You got to do it. But sweet God, there's sometimes you're like, I don't know. Did you do that with your mom? But there's sometimes you're just like, whew. Help me. Now look at this. I've never seen this verse in this translation. I don't ever use the Wycliffe Bible. It's an ancient Bible. This is Proverbs 20:27. I was just looking for some new... I love to turn the diamond and find the facets. So I use lots of translations. Because sometimes just a phrase interpreted just a little bit differently will bring up a whole new area of revelation. I remember, I've shared this with you before, but when I did Gospels in the Now, I talked to a man who was a professional Bible translator. And I asked him, I understand I'm on shaky ground doing my own translation. I said, but I'm thinking of it as a paraphrase, not a translation, because I'm not technically a linguist. I mean, I know how to use a lexicon and, but you know what I mean? I'm not fluent in other languages. And he said something that just changed my life. He said, all translations are paraphrases. There's no way if you're translating something from one language to another, you have to use your... There's no way it can be free of bias. Wednesday night, you know, I told you that story about when I was preaching in Panama and the interpreter didn't know how to... When I said the guy was cool, I relived it Wednesday night because Judah and Jonah and I went to Mexican restaurant over here, not far from here, and the boys ordered some queso dip, and it had gotten cool. And so Judah was trying to ask the waiter, who did not speak any English, can you heat this up? And there's no way. He tried every way. I said, Judah, it doesn't translate. There's something about when you try to explain to somebody, it's just let's order a new one or just... Because he did, you know, he's trying to act out microwaves. The guy's just like, I said, he has no idea what you're talking about. And if I were in a Spanish-speaking country, I wouldn't understand that either, you know. But anyway, before I show you this, my whole point in teaching this, I haven't used the metaphor of birth, but really what I'm talking about is birth. You know, opening the rooms that are ready to be ground zero for manifestation and produce good stuff out of that. Best case scenario, hear me, best case scenario is in your lifetime, you can go through every room and take every key of the kingdom and open them all up and everything will be cleaned out and ready. That may not always be reality. Can I tell you? I don't know what the afterlife is. I don't know what heaven is. I don't know. I know some things just are not going to get fixed in this dimension. They're just not. There's some things you're going to have to, well, you'll have to take it up later. I don't know how all that works out. And I'm suspect of people who are so smug to think they know it too. You don't know. But I just know there's some things, like, I want to get this fixed in my lifetime. Good luck. Hope, best case scenario. And maybe you will. But does some of you understand why I showed you that little horror clip last week? Because there's some things you're like, at least not now. I got it. And the reason we lock it up is not to live in denial. It's to stop manifesting out of it. Stop letting the monster impregnate your spirit and cause you to give birth to other monsters. You hear me? So all of these translations that I've shown you are rooms of the belly, chambers of the spirit, rooms of the heart. There's all, you know, along those lines. Look what it says in Wycliffe's translation. The lantern of the Lord is the spirit of man that seeketh out all the privates of the womb. I had to go back and look at that again, like, wait, what? This is the same verse, chambers of the heart, innermost parts of the belly, rooms of the belly, rooms of the heart. Privates of the womb, the spirit of people is the lantern of the Lord, and it seeketh out all our innermost secrets. Honestly, I haven't fully processed this, but I'm going to tell you something. It rocked my world a little bit because it's such a, in the same way earlier this week when this phone call came in and said everything that I was thinking, this translation says everything I'm trying to get across to you, to get across to me. Genesis 1:26 is about man not only having dominion, but being fruitful and multiplying. Can I tell you, that's not just talking about you having physical children. Ideas have to be birthed. Ministries have to be birthed. Things that make the world a better place. Civil rights movement had to be birthed. Democracy had to be birthed. Things don't just appear. They have to be birthed. Everything in the physical is an explanation of the spiritual. Every physical thing. That's why Jesus said, stop worrying about yourself and go sit in the field and look at a lily. Consider the lilies. These aren't lilies, but they look like them. They must be a type of lily. And, same family. And Jesus says this thing. I don't think he was being poetic. I think he was actually saying, stop fretting and just go look at that. Just look. When he said, consider the lilies, it's like, Shut up and go study a flower. Why? Because nature, I'm telling you, next weekend, I'll lead you in some meditations and I'll have some music and blah, blah, blah. You know what's really going to heal you? Walking in the sand, looking at the ocean, breathing the salt air. It's nearly what I do is, it's not an afterthought, but I'm more of a facilitator. It's like, if I can just get you there. I mean, I have this little video I posted yesterday. I think I've shown it before. It's just a little, I didn't even ask you to show it today, but it's just clips, mostly that BJ's taken, I mean, shots of just many of our meditation weekends, just of people. You can't, the shots are far away. You can't even see who's in the shot. It's, you just kind of see people in a circle by the ocean, by the mountain, in the mountain, whatever. And to me, it just, I've posted it before, but it just speaks volumes to me. Because I'm thinking, we've done this 21 times. And y'all keep going for it. Why? Because something in you said, yeah, I think I need that. Because it's not a vacation. If you want to turn it into a vacation, that's fine. But there's something cathartic about it. Sometimes, Jared has turned into my advisor. He called me this week. He said, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to get on the road and go take you a long trip. And don't you even worry about when you're going to be back. And it needs to be a statement to Mimi that she can get along without you 10 minutes away. I said, where am I going to go? He said, go to New York. I said, I'm not going to go to New York without Ken. People think we broke up. I'm walking around New York by myself. And I actually did consider, I thought, maybe I'll drive out to Santa Fe. And I'm trying to find if I drive out. Because I ain't scared to fly, but I ain't all that jazzed about flying right now. Every time I turn on the news, I'm like, good Lord, what else has blown off a Boeing? Like, they've lost a wing, they've lost a door, they've lost tires, they've lost... I'm like, until y'all get y'all's act together, I may just be Ubering everywhere. I'll do it if I have to, but y'all aren't selling me on flying right now. But I'm thinking, well, if I drove it, that's 3 days out there and spend a couple of days living in 3 days. That's unrealistic. So I'm still trying to figure that out. But he said, I'm telling you, Dad, go somewhere. He said, meditation weekend is fine, but you'll be working with you. You need to go somewhere and just sleep and turn your phone off. I was like, what? I've never heard of such a thing. You mean they turn off? And the world doesn't stop? And I said, I don't know. I'll let you know. But thank you. Thanks for inspiring me. Because one thing that Howie said in our conversation, before he embarked, is that what you say when you go on a ship? He flew up to New York today because they went out of New York Harbor. And he's just walking around New York and, you know, all these places that I love, taking pictures of them. And I was just ignoring him because when I looked, my language was getting too bad. But you heard it. And he took a picture in front of Tavern on the Green, and I said, oh, I thought, for some reason, I thought that was closed. I said, I used to love that place. I said, I miss New York. I said, I miss everywhere. And he said, I got choked up when I read that. I said, I'm not trying to be, I don't feel sorry for me. It's just that I don't have a lot of freedom to go places, and it's fine. It is what it is. But with this, you know what? I couldn't help but think about this. You know, back in whenever Lamaze came out in the 60s, what's that whole thing? The whole thing about having a birthing class and everything. What's the number one thing? About your breathing. And you've seen funny things where, you know, a man's trying to get the woman to breathe and she's like, she's cussing him out. He's like, I don't need breath. I need drugs. And like, they're not mutually exclusive. The point is, breath is conducive to birth. And sometimes breath is the only thing that's going to get you through labor. Because sometimes, if you don't give birth to the thing will kill you. You have to birth it out of your body. It can't live inside your body. That's why pregnancy has a gestation period. At a certain point, that person in the womb has got, for his or her sake and for the mother's sake, you can't stay in the womb. That's why Nicodemus was so surprised when Jesus said, "You must be born again." He said, "What are you talking about? I'm going back in my mother's womb." He said, "No, I'm talking about something spiritual." Let me show you this quote. Dr. Dispenza says, to sum up the meditative process, you have to break the habit of being yourself and reinvent a new self. Lose your mind and create a new one. And I love this. I love the way he phrased this. Prune synaptic connections and nurture new ones. I love that he used the word prune. He didn't say uproot them. He said, prune them. Sometimes things have to be cut back. I used to have, when we lived in Covington, we had huge crepe myrtles. I mean, they'd been there for years and years and years before we ever lived there. And we hired some lawn people, came out, and when they got through it, like, there was nothing left. There was like the little, like, good Lord, you completely, you know what pruning is. I was like, y'all completely... There's nothing left of them. Well, sure enough, next year they were bigger and more beautiful than ever. But they knew what they were doing. But it, to me, it looked like, were those guys drinking or something? Like they just got a saw. And when I said prune them, I thought they were trimming back a little bit. Like there's nothing on there. There's just some stumps out of the ground. And sometimes being born again is a pruning process. When you're being born again, it may look like to everybody else, you've been just cut off. There's no sign of life. Something just got a hold of you and there's nothing left. If I didn't know those were crepe myrtle trees, I would have no idea. I'm like, I don't know. It looks like a dead stump to me. Pruning is necessary to the life cycle, but pruning's hard. I mean, if I was going to just torture that metaphor a little more, I'd go into the whole thing about Jesus saying, you're the vine, I'm the branches, my Father is the vine dresser. In other words, he's got pruning shears, and there's a lot that gets cut back. And it's not to punish you. Is so that you can flourish and grow. But buddy, when you're being pruned, when you're being cut back, it feels like you chopped all the good stuff off. There's nothing green. There's no pretty fuchsia color anymore. I'm just an ugly stump. Maybe people understood that. Somebody said, how are you doing? I've been pruned. Don't ask me right now. And it says, prune synaptic connects, you know, synapses or the neuropaths, the things that fire in the brain. Synaptic connections and nurture new ones. Unmemorize past emotions and recondition the body to a mind, a new mind and emotions, and let go of the past and create a new future. All right, well, Bishop, that sounds different from you saying some things need to be locked and unlocked. No, it's all the same thing. Timing is everything. To everything, there is a season. I fully believe in working on yourself and examining yourself, trying to be, not trying to please God, but just becoming the best version of yourself. But you can't do all that at once. Anybody who says, I'm redoing everything, like that's not realistic. That's not the way it works. You work on what needs attention, and the rest of it, lock it up so that you're not creating a cycle out of it. I know I've said that two or three times already, but you have to understand that's why I'm teaching you this. Then the next thing I want to show you is Chopra says this. Meditation is not a way of making your mind quiet. It's a way of entering into the quiet that's already there, buried under the 50,000 thoughts the average person thinks every day. 50,000 thoughts. It's too much. I move around at night. I go to the bed. It's just something I've done for years. If I can't sleep one place, I'll go try somewhere else until I can't sleep there, and I go back. That's what I've told them. Don't take it personally. It's not about you. I've done this my whole life. I do this when you're not here. And in the middle of the night, I can't tell. Not worrying. Let me tell you something. Thinking 50,000 thoughts a day is not. I don't think I'm a worrier. But you just keep thinking and planning. I forgot to do this. I got to do. Have you ever done that where you're like, you want to say to your brain, if you don't shut up. Remember when your kids, as you have kids, remember when they got to that stage where they asked why about everything when they were like little? Why? And no matter how many things you explained, it only opened up more questions. Why? And all, you swore you'd never say because I said so, and all of a sudden you channel the ancestors. Don't ask me why again. Because I said so, that's the way it is. Why? Because you don't have all the answers either. Jared was like 4, and he said, Daddy, if Jesus can forgive anybody, why didn't he just forgive the devil? I'm like, let me get back to you on that. Could you just go watch something that 4-year-olds watch? But your brain is like that sometimes. Do you know what I mean? Your brain is like a toddler that you just want to go, everything's fine, settle down. And like, why? What about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? Don't forget this. You got to do this tomorrow. Fix this. You know why it's important to come away from your life periodically? It's because guess what? When you check out of here, life's going to go on. When you feel like, I've got to save the world and fix everything. No, you don't. I'm going to tell you, let me give you a huge reality check, and it goes for myself as well. When you go, when you leave this dimension, I know you can't believe it. People can be fine. And sometimes you have to remind yourself of that. I'm not saying they're not going to miss you or grieve you. Even when you mentioned Sammy today, I had a moment where I thought, God, what I wouldn't give for Sammy to say something outrageous right now and me laugh at. So quick.
I'm going to tell you. Go on with life.
I've noticed this. I can't count how many funerals I've done in 52 years. But there's always a thing. If you ever do a burial, people do cremation now, but burials out under the tent. I'm so used to this, I nearly wait for it. You'll be at the graveside, and you've done all the thing. I've say my thing. I said, you know, pray. God bless you. Go in peace. The angel of the Lord encamps around the bay. And there'll be a minute. You'll still hear somebody sob. And I just inadvertently do it. I'll like, wait for it. It takes a couple of beats, and then somebody says something, or somebody laughs, and everybody laughs, and somebody will say, where are we going to eat? Or you, and it's like, there it is. Life just went on. It's like it pauses for, do you know what I'm talking about? It pauses for a second, and you think, these people aren't going to be okay. And then somebody say something, everybody laughs, and like, yeah, they're going to be okay. I mean, they're going to cry again, but it's not, they're not going to be laying by this grave. I remember, I cannot tell you the jokes we made about this. I'm glad there's not a hill, because I would definitely go. But I wasn't that close to my paternal parents, and my paternal grandfather was, he was a handful. And I just say this, when he passed, some of the cousins and me were making jokes away from grandmother that she seemed a little too happy. Just because she had fought a good fight, but he was a lot. And I remember I was watching her. She walked, because she always called him Pop. And, you know, she had gotten emotional and everything. But then when we're walking to the car, I could see her walking off. And she goes, bye, Pop. And when she said it, there was just a little too much of a spring in her step. We all of my horrible cousins, we were all joking about it, you know, that she showed up in workout clothes and she had a new attitude. But there's a little bit of truth in that. Do you know what I mean? And the only reason I'm saying, I'm not trying to make you feel like you're dispensable, because you're not. We need you to be here. I want to think you need me to be here. What I'm saying is, sometimes you have to keep those 50,000 thoughts a day in perspective. Because suddenly, what was it Marshall used to sing, that song, Come On Up to the House, where it's in that lyric where he says, come down off the cross, we could use the wood. That's such a great line, because what it's saying is, your martyr complex is adorable, but you're not saving the world. Come on down. We're going to use that for some firewood. It's a great line, because it puts things in perspective. Because when you're laying awake trying to worry about, there was a little something with one of my kids last night I was worried about. I just was. And I don't think he'll mind me saying this, but Judah's having some issues with sleep apnea. And he's trying a CPAP machine, and it's not going well. And he's trying, I was telling him what you had said about your Ernie loves his, but with him, it's been a challenge, and he's ordering a new, but he can't sleep, so it's kind of exacerbated a situation. And all of a sudden, I found myself worrying about it. Like, in the middle of the night, I'm waking up like, what's he going to do? You know? And I hate to say this, but I kind of just had to go to a dark place and go, well, you know, I can't. Me laying here, I mean, I prayed for him, but me laying here worried about him breathing ain't going to help him breathe. He'll work it out. God's got him. You know, sometimes you just have to say, I can't carry everybody in the world every minute. I just can't. Because you know what? You'll go on someday and everybody... Everybody still be going on too. Believe it or not, the sun will rise without you. The sun will go down without you. Again, I'm only trying to make us all get a grip and stop being so, I'm the chiefest of sinners among you, including me. Like, you know, we took mom to, she had to go to CVS yesterday, and I'm looking at her, you know, trying to, because she's very different from the way y'all remember her. And I'm looking at her thinking, why is this little fragile person, why is she so big in my consciousness? Why does every time the phone ring, I feel like I'm in trouble? Like, what the heck? You're like this little, you know, just like walking. And, but you know, when you've had those strongholds with somebody for years, you can say, other people can say, y'all should blow that off. Well, yeah, well, I don't really have that luxury. However, you know, next week I got to go in for a CAT scan to check the little thing in my heart a year later. And, you know, I remember my cardiologist saying, if you don't get your blood pressure down, because I mentioned to us, I'm the sole caretaker of my mother. He said, well, if you don't get your blood pressure down, she will outlive you, just so you know. And I said, oh, well, that's a sobering thought. Why am I telling you this? Because I'm going to freaking St. Simon's next week. You heard me? And you know what I love about y'all? I've done this 21 times with you. Not one time has anybody on one of these, I mean, y'all don't do this anyway, really. There's not one person that's taken me aside to say, now that I've got you here, I need to tell you a little something. I mean, a couple of times people have asked me to pray about it. No big deal. But it's like, no, it's like everybody's respected the space. And I think they want it too. They're like, no, you know what? I just kind of, like if I said, we're going to have a 24-hour prayer and fasting, I think some of y'all would be like, you know what? We're going to go to our hotel room and we're going to take a nap. One thing I think I've convinced y'all are righteous enough that I couldn't even threaten you. Like, no, we need to storm the gates of hell. You'd be like, see ya. I'm gonna turn the air conditioning down, and I'm gonna put a do not disturb on the door of this overpriced room that I bought. I'm gonna get mines. You know what I mean? With what I paid for this room, I'm gonna rest. And sometimes you have to just be intentional about that. Because you know what? If you do everything for everybody all the time, you know what? People will let you do everything for them. And I know the word boundaries gets overused a lot, but it's not a bad word. You know, well, even driving on the highway, it's amazing to me. You're driving this, however heavy your automobile is, a pretty good speed, and there's these other cars coming the opposite direction who are just passing you just a few inches away. If they were just a few inches over, I mean, you're that close to a head-on collision, like, at all times. And the only reason it doesn't happen is there's a line in the middle of the road that's a boundary. You could cross it and drive into somebody, but they're going to get hurt or killed, and you're going to get hurt or killed. So you have to respect, like, I can't drive over there for my safety and for their safety. And that's the way life is. You've got to be there for people. You got to be there for you. Do you hear what I'm saying? You've got to be there for people, but you've got to be there for you. Even Jesus said, it's necessary that I get out of here. Jesus, help me. Here's a hope. Receive the Holy Spirit. Bye. And I know he never leaves us. I'm not saying God's not. But you know what I mean. I got one more. I have another quote, don't I? Yeah. Oh, this was this number seven? Okay. Before I show you this, let me tell you why I want to show you this. This is the 23rd Psalm. And it's with the metaphysical interpretation. Very similar. It may even be the guy who wrote the Lord's Prayer that we do. I like the way he puts the original in bold, and then I like that. Because I'm very yes and instead of either or. What's that got to do with all this? Because this is what I'm going to end with. Y'all got the whole point about lots of rooms in your heart. Y'all understand that? You got the whole part about keys of the kingdom, multiple keys, multiple rooms. You got the whole thing about whatever you lock on earth is locked in heaven, whatever you got that. You understand that you open some things up because you want to create out of them and other things until they're ready to be resolved. They need whatever you lock, whatever you unlock, bind and loose. Y'all with me on that? Okay. David, he was a nature lover. He was an outdoorsman. He was a shepherd. Spent a lot, especially in his early years. He spent, you know, when his foundation was being built, he spent a lot of time out in, you know, taking care of sheep and being taught. You know, he's the one who said, the heavens declare the glory of God. He didn't know what a Bible was. He said, I just look up at stars and I see the glory of God. And most people, if you do a poll about, you know, what's most people's favorite passage, the average person will say 23rd Psalm. It's the most well-known, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the whole thing is, it's about meditation. He makes me lie down, where? In a pasture. What the heck? Who wants to lay in a pasture? You know, when I was a kid, we'd lay in the grass, get all kind of things on our butt. You know, you go home and find something in your hair, like, your Lord, something bit you. You know, check for ticks. But there was something about, remember as a kid, just laying in the grass, looking up at the sky and cloud formations. There was something about it that felt so freeing and you're so connected with nature. When he said, he makes me lie down and he makes me take a breath. And the Message Bible actually says, the Lord is my shepherd. He helps me catch my breath. He leads me beside still waters. Restores my soul. Leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though all this external stuff is happening, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear any evil because you're with me. Your rod and your staff create boundaries around me. And instead of me worrying about enemies, you prepare a table before me in their presence. And in front of them, you anoint my head with oil. It's the best vindication in the world. I don't need to prove anything to my enemies. I've been anointed with oil at the table in front of them. And I know, do I have regrets? Sure. Should I have handled things differently in the past? Maybe. But surely, goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, doing damage control. And that's why I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's all stand. I want to show you. You don't have to read it. I'm going to read it to you. So 23rd Psalm, Metaphysical Interpretation by Dr. Roger Teal. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Infinite love is my all-knowing guide. In divine supply, I am secure. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. In rest, I rest in God's fullness. I am guided into inner peace. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I am restored in true oneness. I am shown the highest paths for expressing my true nature. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Even when I walk through times of change or loss, I will not become lost in fear, for God is the reality of my being. And with courage and truth, I am uplifted. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. No matter what I face, a feast of support is prepared for me. Spirit anoints me with truth awareness. My blessings overflow. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely peace, love, and abundance shall abide in me all the days of my life. I shall celebrate my oneness with Spirit now and forevermore. Everybody just take a deep breath in through your nose, hold, out through your mouth. So when David would use the word Selah, it means pause and calmly think of that. It means relax. It means meditate. Inhale, hold, exhale. Give me one more inhale. Exhale. All is well. All is at peace. The Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. Your head is being anointed with oil so that your cup runs over. Amen. Play the outro, please. Did y'all get anything out of this today? You know what, Michelle? Don't worry about it.
Hello, and welcome to.
Don't worry about it. Y'all know what to do. I'm not gonna even. I don't want to even think about finances today. I attract abundance. Metron attracts abundance. I have everything I need. I don't need to sell you on it. You're obviously sold. If you're coming next weekend, I bless you. If you can't come next weekend, I bless you. There's no good guys or bad guys in this. If you can work it out, come. Somebody may be watching today that was kind of on the fence about it. Maybe you should just make a decision. I speak into next weekend and just say that everything goes as it should. And that even now, these days before, we go ahead and enter into intentional awareness, intentional consciousness. Just wherever you are this week, let yourself rest. Let yourself relax. Let yourself be at peace. Let yourself not take on the cares of this world. Let the government be on his shoulder. Go in peace.